That game with the great ending, Red Dead Redemption, features protagonist John Marston, rugged survivalist, former outlaw.
I rode in a gang.
Marston's story is studded with ambushes, ride-by shootings, and public executions. He's been given the task of fighting to tame the Wild West. The main protagonist of Call of Duty, Black Ops, Alex Mason, also knows that not all missions can be accomplished within legal bounds. Game designers Anna Anthropy, Sebastian Janisch, and Michael Molinari are all too familiar with that kind of digital narrative. But in creating their own video games, they choose to tell very different stories, more like memoir or diary. Anna, Sebastian, Michael, welcome to On the Media.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Nice to be here.
I'd like you each to begin by describing one of your games. Anna, let's begin with you. What is Dysphoria about?
It's about the past 6 months of my life. I decided to go on hormone replacement therapy. I'm a trans woman. I made the game to try and communicate all of the frustration of the experience of dealing with the medical industry, dealing with society, with my own gender dysphoria, and also the hope that comes out of it after struggling up what is basically a mountain.
In a sense, to mark your own route. Describe the four levels.
So the first level is about making the decision to go on hormones, which was a big, long, arduous process for me. Having to deal with feeling like you don't belong in the woman's bathroom, with getting misgendered by people on the street. The second level is about the process of actually dealing with the medical industry, finding a clinic, dealing with testing. I had to get my blood pressure under control before they would even let me get on hormones. The third level is about actually being on hormones, dealing with wild mood swings, being unable to have my girlfriend touch me because parts of my body were really sensitive and dysphoric. The fourth level was kind of about getting through all that and reaching a place where I kind of was a lot more comfortable than when I started. When I started making the game, I was basically in level 3 of the game myself, and I didn't know then how the game would end and whether, you know, it would in fact be a happy ending.
Michael, tell me about your games. You have one called That Was Yesterday.
Yes, it was created during a time when I was kind of transitioning. I mean, I came from a little tourist beach town in New Jersey, and I moved all the way out to San Francisco area to get my first full-time job making video games. And that's really cool, but I was by myself. I left all my family, my friends. I explained in my head what was going on, and then I almost literally translated these things, saying there's a wall that you need to face away from, and in order to get through the wall, instead of bumping your head against it, you need to look to the past and find all the things that kind of help you drive forward.
I have to tell you, I tried to play the game. I got through the first wall, and then I was in the snow area, and then I couldn't get past the wall after beating my head against the wall in the game a few dozen times.
When you face away from this wall, which kind of represents problems and fears and whatever you think it might be, this big, dense wall, it kind of recedes and it moves back. The key there is to exercise patience and wait for the wall to disappear. And once it's off the screen, then you're able to turn around, face forward, and start moving through life a little bit further. By the end of the game, you find out that even though you are physically alone, you're not alone spiritually, because you bring with you all of the experiences with all the people that you've been with in the past. And so they kind of help you get where you need to go.
Sebastian, your game was about depression. And this was the game, I think, that for me most fulfilled the goal, if that was your goal, to summon up what it feels like to be depressed. There's, again, the metaphor of beating your head against the wall. The second you get through to another place, the same arduous process of beating your head against the wall begins again, or beating your head against various objects and little very minor spatters of blood, lest you forget that this is actually painful. And the whole thing feels very lonely.
Thank you. Yeah, that really sounds a lot like what I would have hoped someone would kind of get out of the game.
You picture your own death. Or did I just... Spoiler alert!
That is... Well, I kind of intended for it to represent a sort of inner death. the game ending. I started making it just to kind of almost relieve myself because I was feeling all this emotion, or more like a lack of emotion. You know, I thought maybe making this game would make me feel better. Essentially, what I wanted to try and do was make it so that when you play it, because of the way the gameplay is designed, you'll start to feel how I felt.
Is it because the three of you work in the business that to convey these acutely personal moments, you turned to games rather than poetry?
This is Anna. Games are particularly well-suited for exploring dynamics and systems because they're about rules. My experience with hormone therapy was characterized by frustration. And, you know, what better form in which to make an audience feel frustration? Like, people play video games, they complain, they say, you know, this is so frustrating. This part of the level is just so badly designed. It really is one of the best suited forms to actually having your audience experience the frustration that you're feeling, because you can set up goals, you can rig the variables, so it's very hard to meet those goals.
This is Sebastian. If I'm watching a movie, I'm watching somebody else's story. But in a video game, even in something as simple as Tetris, it's your story. You're providing the input.
If nobody played your games, would it still be incredibly satisfying to have made them?
Actually, with Lackadaisium, I wasn't even sure if I was going to release it or not. I did sort of make it for myself. I thought it was maybe a little presumptuous of me to assume that other people would be interested in my experiences. But I just kind of figured I had already kind of made this thing, and maybe some other people would find some value in it.
Anna?
I wanted my game to sort of reach out to other trans people who were going through sort of the same experience, and to kind of carry the message that maybe it gets better. I have heard from so many people that, like, it really resonated with them and they felt that way.
Michael, what's the reaction been to "That Was Yesterday"?
Some people had more personal experiences than I even had when I was making it, because I was fusing my own experiences to make these hybrid semi-autobiographical moments in the game, and people actually had them. And so they would thank me and just let me know that I helped them deal with whatever was going on in their life that was similar to what was going on in the game.
Anna, you offer tools in your book for amateurs to create their own form of expression through games.
The game industry has become so conservative, more like Hollywood, and I think that, you know, amateurs, as you put it, making their own games and making smaller games that are more personal, more maybe like, you know, the games that we're talking about today, is really important to video games as an art form. And I think it is also just as inevitable as it is necessary.
Well, thank you very much, Anna.
Thank you.
Sebastian and Michael, thank you too.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Sebastian Janisch and Michael Molinari are independent game designers. Game designer Anna Anthropy's first book, The Rise of the Video Game Zinesters, How Freaks, Normals, Amateurs, Artists, Dreamers, Dropouts, Queers, Housewives, and People Like You Are Taking Back an Art Form, was published this month.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Jamie York, Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sara Abdurrahman, and Chris Neary, with more help from Louisa Beck and Robert Schoon, and edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Andrew Dunn.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer. Ellen Horn is WNYC's senior director of national programs. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can listen to the program and find transcripts at onthemedia.org. You can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Jane Marcher Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.